Well, greetings everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabel, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally and internationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 120 countries worldwide over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on the war story when we come back. You know, those who already walk submissively will say that there's no cause for alarm, but submissiveness is not our heritage. The First Amendment was designed to allow rebellion to remain as our heritage. The Constitution was designed to keep government off the backs of the people, and the Bill of Rights was added to keep the precincts of belief and expression of the press, of political and social activities, free from government surveillance. Now, you know, I wished I'd have thought of that statement, but that quotation comes from Supreme Court Justice William O. Douglas. Now, our princes and our politicians beller in the halls of Congress for more taxes, more spending, more gun control. You and I have not heard anything intelligent come out of a politician's mouth in more than 75 years. And that's why I contend that the only real reason, logic, or common sense left in America now comes from our courts. It doesn't come from our political process. It doesn't come from our politicians. It doesn't come from our lawyers or our bureaucrats. Old Mayor Rothschild summed it up with a flair when he said, "You give me the money power, and I care not who makes the laws." Well, let me echo that by saying, "You give me the judicial power, and I care not who makes the laws either." Because the real power in America is in our courts. It's not in our politics. Now, if you'd like to tap into that power of the courts, why don't you call us here at the law school? The number is 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. While you're at it, be sure to ask for our free general law CD package. That's a four-hour commentary on the law school. It's entertaining, it's educational, it's informative, and it's free of charge. Now, our school, Courtroom Strategy and Procedure, is available on compact disc for adult home education. And if you're online, you can go to our website, georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. And click on to our archives page, and you can download that free general law CD package right there off of our website. That's georgegordon.org, and go to our archives page. All right, we're talking about the war story. Last time I showed you that there were rules of engagement set down by God Almighty, given to Moses, who was instructed to fight a war with the Midianites. And then Joshua followed those rules of engagement and conquered the Promised Land. We don't follow the rules of engagement from the Bible today. We've got a different program. We send our young men, our officers, to Annapolis and West Point, and we teach and train those men in the art of war, military operations, and so on. And they don't learn much from Moses. They don't learn much from God. Now, as a historical note here, when God was fighting our wars for us, you know, such as the War of 1812 and the Revolutionary War and the Spanish-American War and the First and Second World Wars, we Americans came out on top. And it's true, we didn't follow all of these rules of engagement that we got from God, but we followed a lot of them. We did some of them. But now we've gotten to the point where we don't follow any of them. And the people who are leading us, our political leaders, are foreigners and aliens now. These people have a different God. These people have a different agenda. And they have a program that they're implementing, and it doesn't include the best interests of little Georgie Gordon or of you or your wife or your family. It has in its sights the best interests of General Electric, Boeing Aircraft, Goldman Sachs, Bank of America, and a whole host and plethora of others who profit from these wars, these no-win, no-end wars. Now, a fellow by the name of Smedley Butler, you might want to write this down, Smedley, S-M-E-D-L-E-Y Butler, he was a general, a Marine Corps general. And he wrote a little book. You can read it in an hour. It's only 50, 75 pages maybe, and it's called War is a Racket. War is a Racket. It's still in print. He printed this back in 1932. It's still out there. It's a bestseller. It's been around forever. War is a Racket. And in the book, he spent 30 years or 32 years in the Marines. He was a general, a three-star general. He was a Medal of Honor winner. I mean, he's not a slouch. He's not some guy, you know, that doesn't have any credentials. Came up through the ranks. He didn't go to West Point and Annapolis and so on. I think he started out as a buck private, and he worked his way up, ended up a three-star general. And here's what he said about his wartime experience. He said that he was a hitman for Brown Brothers Harriman and United Fruit Company. A hitman. Now, on this war for Iraq, you know, Iraqi freedom and so on, the president at the time, George Bush, came up with a number of reasons why we needed to go to war in Iraq. And then I pointed out to you, you know, you're up at bat, and I throw a beer bottle and hit you in the back, and you turn around and punch out the punch out the catcher of the opposing team. Now, remember that 9/11 was allegedly perpetrated by 20 Saudi Arabians. Didn't have anything to do with Iraqis. The Iraqis didn't attack us. The Iraqis didn't hit us with a beer bottle. And we went to war against Iraq and had 44 reasons why we needed to do that, because they were a threat. But listen, I'm going to tell you what the reason was. And Smedley Butler put his finger right on the pulse of it. The people in Iraq are sitting on top of 1/4 of all of the known provable oil reserves in the world. 1/4. And because of that, we went to war so that we could steal their oil. We Americans are stealing the oil from the Iraqis. Now, our big oil companies like Exxon and Standard Oil and Shell and BP, you know, and so on, they've gone over there now. And with the puppet regime that we have installed in Iraq, like the puppet regime that we installed in Iraq in 1923 and the puppet regime that we installed in Iraq in the 1950s, it was 1953, I believe it was, and now the new puppet regime, we Americans and Britons have controlled the oil flow out of Iraq now for probably 90 years. And this guy, Saddam Hussein, got uppity, and we couldn't control that oil flow, and he had to go. That was the bottom line. And so we went to war against Iraq with this cover story, 9/11, which was an inside job, if you'll remember. Now, 84% of us have found out, or we're pretty well convinced now, this is an inside job. And Smedley Butler, in his book, explains how the military forces of the United States are used as an extension of the business policies of our major multinational corporations. They're out there to enforce. They're the enforcers of our brand of business that we do worldwide. And if anybody gets in our way, we go over there and tune them up. Now, the Taliban, who were running Afghanistan, they were approached by, I think it was Union Oil, and they wanted to put an oil line or an oil pipeline through Afghanistan to Pakistan, and then I think on to India. And it came out of the Caspian Sea, and it was going to move a lot of oil out of Iraq and the Middle East over there to India. And the Taliban, religious nuts that they are, said, hell no, we're not going to buy into that program. Well, then right away, you know, we had to go to war. And so this Twin Towers thing was a put-up deal so that we'd have an excuse to get us all excited and go to war so we could put the pipeline through there. Now, that's the purpose for the war in Afghanistan. Now, meanwhile, back on the farm, there's a bunch of other guys, these Muslims over there, that are ticked off at us. So I explained to you last time how in Deuteronomy chapter 20, verses 1 through 20, our God says that there's wars that are authorized, and he has to authorize them. And so the priest goes out there and does this first. Now, here in America, the priest is Chief Justice of the Supreme Court Roberts. He's the guy that holds the chief priest position here in our government. If we were following the law of God, then Chief Justice Roberts would be sitting in the seat of Aaron, and President Obama would be sitting in the seat of Moses, and Harry Reid and Nancy Pelosi wouldn't have any seats at all. They'd be back home because we would not be making laws. In fact, there's two statutes here in Deuteronomy 4, verse 2, and Deuteronomy 12, 32, where our God, our Creator, he said, I don't want you people out here making laws. You shall not add to this law or detract from it. He gave us an entire law. He gave us everything we needed, and he said, that's it. And if we need any more, I'll give it to you. And if we don't, you sit down, shut up, and fold your hands. And, of course, we didn't want to do that. We wanted a Congress. Hell, we want to make our own laws. And we told God, we told the Creator that, you know, back in 1 Samuel chapter 8, we said, hey, you kiss off, and we're going to have a king. We're going to make our own laws. And he said, well, now you guys are making a mistake here. And we said, no, we don't think we're making a mistake. And so, you know, from that point on, life's been kind of a bummer, especially politically. But getting back here to war and Smedley Butler said war is a racket. And that's what's going on over here in Iraq and Afghanistan. That's a racket. And you and I get to pay for it. And then your sons and daughters get to go over there and die for it, because the people that were over there raping, robbing, and pillaging are just tired of it. They're tired of it. They've been screwed over now for 90 years, and they say, hell, enough's enough, and we're going to fight, and we're not going to take it anymore. There's a guy the other day ran his airplane into the an IRS building down in Austin, Texas, and he wrote a 5-page letter, and it's on the Internet, and the other day I got it and I read it, and he got frustrated with the raping, robbing, and pillaging of his of him personally and his business, and so he said, I ain't taking it anymore. Kind of like Harry's war, you know, flew his airplane into the building. He couldn't handle the stress of it anymore. And then people get like that. Now, remember, God said, I will make your enemies to be at peace with you. He said that in, it was in Proverbs 16, verse 7. And in Leviticus 26, verse 6, he says, I'll give you peace in the land. Now, have you noticed that our enemies are at war with us and that we do not have peace in our land? Last Christmas, some guy came over here, one of these Muslim terrorists, you know, and he tried to blow up an airplane as it was landing in Detroit. Now, we didn't have that going on here, but now we do. And so I think that we should pay attention now to what our God has told us, what he said. Now listen, people, if you don't follow my instructions, here's what I'm going to do to you. So I started that last time in Deuteronomy 28. Now remember, he says, it's going to come to pass if you will not hearken unto the voice of the Eternal your God to observe to do all of his commandments and his statutes which I command you this day, that all of these curses are going to come upon you and overtake you. He said, you're going to be cursed in the city, cursed in the field, cursed in your basket, cursed in your store. Cursed shall be the fruit of your body and the fruit of your land, the increase of your kind and flocks of sheep. And cursed shall you be when you come in, cursed shall you be when you go out. And the Eternal will send you cursing, vexation, and rebuke in all that you set your hand to do until you be destroyed. And until you perish quickly because of the wickedness of your doings whereby you have forsaken me. All right, so let's stop and think about that for a minute. Why is it that our economy is in collapse? We got two wars that we can't win. Goldman Sachs and Bank of America are raping us. We got $29 trillion worth of debt piled on us. Doesn't that sound like rebuke to you? And we got these terrorists coming over here now, trying to blow up our airplanes in our airports, and then we've got our public officials telling us to bend over while they look up our hind ends to see if we're terrorists. Does that sound like rebuke to you? And that gets worse than that, because he said, I'm going to destroy you. Now, that's pretty serious. Now, you and I are sitting here saying, well, why do you want, God, why do you want to destroy us when it's Boeing Aircraft and Lockheed and Halliburton and Goldman Sachs and Morgan Stanley? Those are the guys that are doing all of this. Well, it's because you keep voting these guys back into office. I mean, you know, for the last 50 or 75 years, you people have been riding the gravy train. While our major corporations and our generals and our armies are out here raping, robbing, and pillaging everybody in the world, you keep voting them back in. Well, okay. It made all the sense in the world for you to do that, and I don't deny it. But you know what goes around comes around. And now we're bankrupt. And now our God is working against us. And our enemies that hate us and want to destroy us, he's not defending against. Now, I've got a solution for this. My solution is I don't think that little Georgie Gordon is going to write a letter to Nancy Pelosi and influence her, so I'm not going to waste my time. But little Georgie Gordon can take a look at my duties and responsibilities, which is to practice the Ten Commandments and the statutes, judgments, and commandments of God, and I can go do that all by myself. I don't need my county commissioners over here to give me approval, and I don't need my local sheriff over here to pat me on my little pointed head and say, good boy, Georgie. I don't need my president. I don't need my congressman or my senators or my state legislators over here. I don't need their approval. I can do that all by myself, and so can my family. And, you know, I'm one of the few guys in the country that isn't complaining about the IRS. I'm not complaining about Homeland Security. I'm not complaining that I don't have health care insurance. I'm not complaining about my sickness and disease. I'm saddened by the demise of my country. I'm not at all happy with Goldman Sachs raping, robbing, and pillaging everybody, or the big oil companies going over to Iraq and ripping them off in my name, and then the people of the world, you know, are sitting there saying, let's go kill little Georgie Gordon. I'm not happy with that. But by the same token, you know, I took a look at Smedley Butler's book, and I said, you know, Butler, I think you're right. And these no-win wars over here, I think there's something to them that a little bit more than meets the eyeball. And this 9/11 thing, you know, with these Twin Towers falling down, you know, in their own tracks over there, those buildings, you know, were detonated. Those buildings were wired with explosives. Just like that Building 7, you know, that they took down intentionally, and Silverstein said, and we had to pull Building 7. Hell, you know, it takes weeks to wire those buildings. And from the attacks in the morning at 8 o'clock until 4 o'clock in the afternoon, they wired that Building 7 and brought it down with all that chaos going on. Come on, guys, let's wake up and smell the coffee here. Let's, you know, start acting like adults, and let's get our brains back on track, shall we? That building, Building 7, about 42 stories high, was already wired with explosives, and it was brought down. That's where the bottom line is. So that book again, Smedley Butler, War is a Racket. War is a Racket. It's in print. You can get it today. I got my last one at Barnes & Noble. Now let's take a look at another little factor that comes in here. Remember, we're in Deuteronomy 28, verses 15 through 68. Listen to this. He said, the Lord will make the pestilence cleave unto thee until he has consumed you from off the land where you go in to possess it. And the Eternal will smite you with a consumption and with a fever, and with an inflammation and with an extreme burning, and with the sword. Get that word sword? That's war. And with blasting and with mildew, and they shall pursue you until you perish. And your heaven that is over your head shall be brass, and the earth that is under you shall be iron, and that's drought. And the Eternal will make the rain of your land powder and dust. From the heaven shall it come down upon you until you be destroyed. And the Eternal will cause you to be smitten before your enemies, and you shall go out one way against them and flee seven ways before them. And you shall be removed into all the kingdoms of the earth. Now that's national deportation. That's national destruction. You won't be able to stand before your enemies. You're going to be defeated in war. You're going to suffer from drought. Hell, we're already doing all of the above. All of that right now is right on our necks. And he says, I'm going to do this till you be destroyed. Now, my common sense says to me, you know, that before we get down to the point where we're dead, don't you think maybe we ought to straighten out and shape up and straighten up here? Now, my dad used to tell me, you know, before he would lower the boom on me, he'd say, you know, now you're cruising for a bruising. That was just kind of a little jab that said, you know, you're cruising for a bruising here. And then maybe he might make another statement, you know, a little later on. He'd say, you know, you better straighten up and fly right. That would be another little warning, you know, that I'm dissatisfied with your performance here. And then after a few of those little admonitions like that, pretty soon he'd just come unhinged, and he'd grab me and throw me into the wall. And then I would bounce off of the wall. This is a phenomenon of physics. When a 12-year-old kid hits the wall with sufficient velocity, he will fall on the floor. I'm telling you from personal experience, when a 12 or 14-year-old kid hits the wall. Now, you know, sometimes he'd throw me into the wall and I didn't hit the floor, so he'd grab me and throw me into the wall with a little more force, and then I'd fall on the floor. Now, when I'm down on the floor, he'd whip off his belt and just beat the living hell out of me. Okay? Now, I'm not here complaining. You know, I'm not asking you social ladies out there, you know, to come over here and feel sorry for me now because I was abused by my daddy. My daddy never abused me, never once. And in fact, looking back on it now, a few times there, I'd say he probably didn't whip me near as hard as he should have. But I got to tell you, there was a time or two there when I wasn't sure that you could live through that much pain, agony, and suffering. But I'm here to tell you today, yeah, you can. Yeah, you'll make it. You'll get through it. And a good thing he did that, too, because, you know, that's what kept me on the straight and narrow. That's what taught me a lesson or two. And that's what God's telling us here in Deuteronomy 28. Now, he said, I've been trying to talk to you people for a long time. You ain't listening up too good. And so now there's going to be some pressure put on you. Now, right now, boys and girls, we're under great pressure. The economy's bad. Business is bad. And our government is bad. And we're being raped, robbed, and pillaged. And everybody's working against us. But I want to tell you that there's a solution to this problem. There's a solution to this. We have a contract. I don't know if you knew this or not, but you can write this down so you can go read the terms of the contract. The contract is located in Exodus. That's the second book of the Bible. Exodus 19, starting in verse 16. And it terms in Exodus chapter 24, verse 7. There's the contract. Now, you can sit there and argue, well, I never made any contract with God or Moses or anybody else. Well, that's probably true, and I didn't do it either. I didn't make that deal. But my great-great-great-great-great-great-granddaddy, 84 generations back, and that's 84 times 40 years, not 20. Now, 84 times 40. A generation is 40 years in the Scripture, not 20, 40, 40. Got that? Now, multiply 84 times 40, and that'll take you back to about 1329 B.C. in round numbers. And that's when Moses got the Ten Commandments up off the mountain. Now, in Exodus 24, verse 7, my great-great-great-granddaddy was standing here alongside your great-great-great-great-granddaddy, and here's what they said. They said, all that the Eternal has said, we will do and be obedient. And that contract inures to the heirs and assigns forever. Forever. And I pointed out to you, I think, last week what that word forever means. It means until the terms and conditions, an age, a dispensation, until the terms and conditions reach their climax, as long as the sun rises and the sun sets, and as long as time's going on, there's not going to be another worldwide flood. God told us that. He gave us this rainbow thing up here. He said, no, that's my sign in the sky too. And so there's certain deals that have come to pass in the past, and there are certain rules of law that apply. Now, I wasn't present in 1776 or 1787 at the writing of the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution of the United States. But those two documents, you know, as an American standing here, you know, or sitting here in America, those two documents apply to me. They inure to the heirs and assigns forever. And as long as America is still functioning in operation here, then it's binding upon me, like it or lump it. And so the same thing happens to you. And so now these laws, these Ten Commandments and all these statutes, judgments, and commandments, they inure to us. That is, the benefits that we received, all this good stuff that we've received over the last couple hundred years. And then if we don't perform our end of the contract, then we get the penalties. And this Deuteronomy chapter 28 is one of the two penal clause chapters recorded in Scripture. So you ought to be familiar with what's coming. Here's what's going to happen to us. And it's all bad. There isn't anything in this chapter. Well, after verse 15, there isn't anything good. Everything in here is bad. And you want to try to avoid this if it's at all possible. He says, you shall go out one way against them and flee seven ways before them. You shall be removed into all the kingdoms of the earth. Your carcass shall be meat for the fowls of the air and unto the beasts of the earth. And no man shall fray them away. The death toll here in America is going to be so high I suspect you Europeans are going to be in on this. But at least here in America, and probably you Canadians up there, you know, you're in on this with us. You know, you Canadians and you Australians and New Zealanders have been co-conspirators with us in this raping of the world, you know, to a lesser extent. And you're not as culpable as we are. But I just wanted to point out that you're going to get it too, just like we are. And this is the chapter that tells you. Now, there's going to be, just like you saw down here in Haiti, you know, 200,000 people die in a short period of time. You got a sanitation problem here, and you got to dispose of a lot of bodies in short order. Now, if you can't dispose of those bodies in short order, then they lay on the ground, and then the birds come down and eat them. And the death toll is going to be so high here in Israel that no man's going to fray the birds away, and the fowls of the air are going to come, and the beasts of the earth, and eat our dead carcasses. That's how many dead there's going to be. Ezekiel tells us that it's one-third, one-third, and one-third. And that Ezekiel story over there has to do with war. There's war coming here. That's why I said I thought I might tell you about this war story. The war story. There's a lot of story here in the Bible about war, and I think that all of us ought to be aware of it and see if we can't avoid that, if it's at all possible. Now, there's a little avoidance scheme over here. As we progress along, we'll take a look at it. But meanwhile, back on the farm, the average Joe Sixpack over here, I don't think has been hearing this from his local preacher on Sunday morning. Now, the Eternal will smite you with a botch of Egypt and with the hemorrhoids and with the scab and with the itch, whereof you cannot be healed. And the Eternal will smite you with madness and blindness and astonishment of heart. You will grope at noonday as the blind grope in darkness, and you shall not prosper in your ways, and you shall only be oppressed and spoiled evermore, and no man shall save you. That's quite a little statement. That's exactly where we're at today. We're being oppressed by Goldman Sachs and Bank of America and our Congress and our Treasury and our multinational corporations, and there's nobody out here to save us. Now, there's a reason for this. Now, pay attention now to this chapter 28 and Leviticus 26. If you haven't written it down, do it now. It's Leviticus, that's L-E-V, chapter 26, whole thing, and Deuteronomy, that's D-E-U-T, Deuteronomy 28, whole chapter. And here's our God, our Creator, and He says, now here's what I'm going to do to you if you don't obey me and keep my commandments, and here's what I'm going to do. Now, I don't think there's any of you people out there going to argue much with me about, hey, wait a minute, I'm obeying God and keeping all of His commandments. Because if you are, then you can sit back and relax. You haven't got a care in the world. God is not going to do any of this to you. But now, if you're like the average Joe Sixpack out here, and you're not practicing the Ten Commandments, you know you're not keeping the Sabbath, and you're not practicing just weights and balances, and you're out here stealing from people with usury and interest, or you're paying usury and interest and being stolen from, you know, and you got stocks and bonds and a 401k, and you're doing business with the banks, you know. There was a story came out yesterday, it was on PBS News last night, that the banks now are going to have to start dealing a little more fairly and a little more honestly with us over these credit cards. And they pointed out, you know, how the banks have been adding up fees and changing the due date on the credit cards and bumping your interest up for no reason at all, and how they've just been screwing, blueing, and tattooing everybody. And it's true. You know, hell, they've been doing that for a long time. But every one of you people out there that have a credit card in your pocket, all right, you're the proximate cause of your own injury. And that's a legal term. It says, you know, you caused this yourself. Nobody made you go down and sign up for that credit card. Now, you went down there and did that of your own free will and volition. And, you know, all of you people have been educated here in the United States. I mean, you know, you went to school. It's the law here. You had to go to school for some period of time. I don't know of anybody in this country that has not gone to school. I mean, you could count the number of people that have not attended school in the United States, you know, on one hand. And you know, you learned how to read to some degree. And at least you learned enough to know that you should take this to somebody and have them read it to you. And you signed that contract. You know, you learned how to read enough that you could sign your name to the contract over there. That's why I said you're the proximate cause of your own injury. They appealed to your vanity, jealousy, lust, greed, and fear, and you just sucked up to it, and you went down, got your credit card, and now they're screwing you, blueing you, and tattooing you. And now you're going to your enemies, the Congress of the United States, to save you from your enemies, the bankers. Huh? Does that make any sense? You're going to go to one enemy to save you from your other enemy. I mean, these guys are not your friends. If you think the Congress is acting in your best interests over there, you're so far out of touch with reality, you ain't never going to catch up. And then if you think the banks over here are your friends, you know, after they're charging you 28% interest, here's what you do. This is called the rule of 72. And all you people out there, write down the number 72. Can you do that right there on your paper? Just write 72. Now put a dividing sign over the top of that. Now take 28, because that's your interest rate, okay? 28, that's 28% interest. What you do is you take 72 and you divide that by the interest rate. I'm going to put in 28 here. And the number I get is 2.571. That's how long it takes for your principal balance to double. So start making your payments on your $10,000 credit card, minimum payments at 28% interest, and your bill is going to double in 2.5 years. 30 months, your $10,000 is going to double to $20,000. And your $20,000 in another 30 months will double to $60,000 and then $120,000. I mean, they got you people buried in debt. And your God told you, remember, your Creator. Now, He said, now I want you to practice a land Sabbath and a year of release, and I want you to practice a jubilee year, and I want you to forgive all the creditors and all the debtors, and I want to eliminate all debt from the land. Now, when was the last time you can remember a land Sabbath or a jubilee declared by Congress or your president or by an executive order or by Goldman Sachs or Bank of America? Come on, wake up here. Let's smell the coffee. Congress is your enemy. The banks are your enemies. The only friend that we got left is our Creator, and he's ticked off. He ain't happy with our performance at all. Last week I pointed out there's some works here you got to do. So let's take a look at this in the context of war, because war is coming. War is coming. World War III, nuclear bomb war. Oh, we got some god-awful bad times coming. You ain't seen nothing yet. Nothing. And this is the chapter. This is the book. This is the chapter right here. Tells you what's coming. So I thought I'd share that with you and see whether or not you could handle this. Maybe you can. Maybe you can't. Hey, let me put a mark here and remind you here. We're a little bit past the halfway point here, so I can comply here with the FCC and all the government agencies around the world here that regulate and control me. Let me remind you that you're listening to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. We're sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. If you'd like more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, then please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org. georgegordon.org. Now, the law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. Now, that's eight schools in all. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. Now, the law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc, and the Law Hour website is updated weekly, and it has a radio log schedule and archives, and all of that can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service, and it's brought to you in the public interest. Now, the law school offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order yours by calling the law school at 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, if you'd like a copy of that free general law CD package and you don't want to wait and write for it, if you'll go to your computer, click onto our archives page, you can download it right there off of our archives page. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief, and the Law Hour and Editorial Review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program, and we often endorse or recommend books, papers, periodicals, and newsletters to our listeners. Now, these endorsements, these recommendations that we give, don't mean that the authors or publications that we're endorsing are necessarily going to reciprocate and endorse and recommend us. We should all keep in mind that most of these authors and publications that we cite here on the Law Hour and Editorial Review may be hostile, political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans, and their viewpoints may not be totally endorsed by the Law Hour and Editorial Review either. Now, these opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine, and they're mine alone, and they do not necessarily represent the views, beliefs, or the opinions of the advertisers, sponsors, management, or staff of this radio network or of this local radio station. Now, if you'd like more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, then remember our website, georgegordon.org, and our free general law CD package that you can download from our website, from the archives page, or you can call us direct at 417-273-4967, and we will answer your questions live and direct. All right, we're talking about the war story. Now, I told you about Smedley Butler. Did you get him down? Smedley Butler, 3-star general, Marine Corps general. He said, war is a racket. These two wars going on in Afghanistan and in Iraq are rackets, and they're made with specificity by our Congress and by executive orders and our military-industrial complex to enrich those people. It makes them a lot of money. And God love them. You know, I'm not opposed to business. I'm not opposed to making lots of money. And I can readily understand why they want to do that. And I don't readily understand why we, the rest of the people in the country, want to support that, want to keep voting for it. That's kind of beyond me, but, you know, far be it from me to get in the way of the happiness and success of my fellow Americans. They evidently, that is the other 315 or 20 million Americans out there, must think this is a pretty good program. Now, our Creator in Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy 28 a long time ago wrote this prophecy. This Moses was a prophet, in case you didn't know that. He wrote these prophecies. That's what makes him a prophet. And this is a message that comes from God. Now, Jesus, remember sweet Jesus, he endorsed this prophecy. He believed every word of it. He said so. He said so. And he said so in Matthew 4, verse 4. He said, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. He said that twice. He said that also in Luke 4, verse 4. It's recorded twice. Now, you Christians can listen up, because that came right out of the New Testament. That's sweet Jesus. Now, listen, Christian. The day he made that statement, not one word of the New Testament had been penned yet. And he said, man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So only the 39 books of the Old Testament were penned and were in existence. And he said every word. Moses had a couple of things to say here, you know. He didn't say some of the words and part of it. He said every. So I'm just here as a reporter here to tell you, I think that he means business. Now this is a future tense chapter here. It speaks to the people of that time. It speaks to the people that lived between Moses and today, and it speaks to us today. And just read it for yourself. I think that's a pretty simple conclusion to come to. And then, hey, listen, I'm not trying to get you to do something you don't want to do. I just wanted to point out to you that if you're tired of this crap and you're sitting there saying to yourself, I ain't going to take it anymore, well, there's an alternative to this. And we Americans used to practice that alternative. The alternative that we practiced was the Ten Commandments. And then somebody came along and turned our head. Franklin D. Roosevelt was the guy that came along, and Frank turned our head. And he introduced to us the 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto in 1933. He closed our banks and gave us paper money and took our gold. Our God gave us gold and took our paper money, and Frank came along, turned our heads, and Frank took our gold and gave us back our paper money. Now, our Creator told us this paper money over here is going to lead you to rack and ruin. Now, take a look at what's happened. We embraced the Federal Reserve, paper money, and government control of our economy. And we've been doing that for 75 or 80 years. Now we've come to the end of it. And now we're in this god-awful global financial crisis called the GFC, Global Financial Crisis. And we ain't come to the end of that yet. You know, these clowns in Washington are telling you, hey, sit back and relax, everything's fine. Oh, my God. Not only isn't everything fine, it's getting worse. And all the excesses that created this global financial crisis are being repeated in spades. Spades. Now, everybody knows that this thing's going to blow up in our face. Well, I mean, unless you got an IQ down around the speed limit, you know, you might think that everything's going to be fine. But, you know, those of us that got up around 100 here someplace, you know, just trying to get our brains out of the fog, are starting to wake up and ask questions like, hey, wait a minute here. We ain't too happy with what's going on. As it was evidenced here by the three votes in New Jersey, Massachusetts, and Virginia. I don't think that it's going to do us any good. It's way too late now for voting. And I think we're down to where you need to get square with God quick, real quick, because our God now is coming unhinged. And when this God, this Creator, when this guy comes unhinged, he goes postal, as evidenced by Noah's flood and the Red Sea crossing, where he killed 450,000 Egyptians in about 20 minutes. And this guy's meaner than a junkyard dog. And I don't think that we ought to be giving this guy the finger anymore. We've been doing that long enough. Time now to shape up. My old daddy used to say, time for you to shape up and fly right. Straighten up and fly right, he used to say. Now listen to this. He says, and you shall only be oppressed and spoiled evermore, and no man will save you. You shall betroth a wife, and another man shall lie with her. You shall build a house, and you shall not dwell therein. You shall plant a vineyard, and you shall not gather the grapes thereof. Your ox shall be slain before your eyes, and you shall not eat thereof. Your ass shall be violently taken away from before your face, and shall not be restored to you. Your sheep shall be given unto your enemies, and you shall have none to rescue them. Well, wait a minute. Remember this guy the other day flew his airplane into the IRS building in Austin, Texas? That's exactly what he was complaining about. He said, three times I've saved up my retirement. Three times I've gone out and started my business. I went out and got my licenses and permits and did everything that I was supposed to do. And the IRS has come in here three times and wiped me out. Well, okay. Hey, partner, join the club. The reason that we're being spoiled and oppressed by our enemies, and anybody that thinks the IRS is your friend has got to have his head up his derriere. Come on, wake up. And then this guy, you know, he came unhinged and he said, hey, I ain't going to take this anymore. He did not know how to deal with the IRS. He could not deal with the real problems of life. And then, you know, going on here, he says, now your sons and daughters shall be given unto another people. That social lady come and take in your kids. They do 2.5 million of them a year. And your eyes shall look and fail with longing for them all the day long. And there shall be no might in your hand. Now the fruit of your labor and all of your labor shall a nation which you knowest not eat up, and you shall only be oppressed and crushed always. Listen, we Americans go to the banks and borrow money at interest, put in our crops, and we go out here and we harvest them. Union Pacific Railroad hauls them down to New Orleans, and the New Orleans ships are loaded up, and they haul them off to Russia and China and around the world, and they're eating our crops. And now we are a net importer of food. Can you believe that? The United States of America, net importer of food. The world's greatest agricultural nation that's ever existed. I mean, we used to have surpluses here that we had a problem figuring out where to put all that stuff. Well, we ain't got that problem anymore. Thank your politicians for that and public policy. You talk about a national security problem over here. I would say a nation that's not able to feed itself has got a security problem. So that you shall be mad for the sight of your eyes, which you shall see. Hey, this guy running his airplane into a building and killing people. Don't you think this guy was mentally unbalanced? Don't you think he was mad? Unable to handle us. You'll be mad for the sight of your eyes. The Eternal will smite you in the knees and in the legs with a sore botch that cannot be healed, and from the sole of your foot to the top of your head. Does that sound like cancer, heart disease, multiple sclerosis, and muscular dystrophy? And now you're crying out to who? You're crying out to your government, and you're saying, oh, government, please give us insurance so that we can pay the doctor. Don't you think good health would be better? So, you know, if you're the average Joe Sixpack pig-eating Christian over here, you're bringing this bad health on yourself. Now, I mentioned to you a little earlier here. Your creator told you, don't eat pig. And your preacher says, oh, no, that's Old Testament. Don't listen to that. That was nailed to the cross with Jesus, and you don't have to listen to that anymore. You can eat all the pig you want. Well, go ahead. See if you can eat pig fat and blood and see if it'll give you good health. Huh? And then somebody says, my God, that tastes good. Well, I'm sure it does. Hell, maybe arsenic tastes good. I don't know. Why don't you go out and eat some arsenic or strychnine and see how good it tastes? You might discover some new culinary delight. Now, your creator told you that you can't eat pig, fat, and blood. And then your government over here tells you you can't eat sugar. And you people over here, listen to this. Go out and drink a Coca-Cola. Okay? Just one Coke. It's 12 ounce. That 12-ounce Coke has 9 teaspoonfuls of sugar. 9 spoonfuls of sugar. Now, do you know how many spoonfuls of sugar that your body can metabolize in 24 hours? 3. 3. That's it. And I reported to you that here in the United States, we Americans doubled the consumption of soda pop in 20 years. And at the same time, we doubled the rate of diabetes in the United States. Okay. Can you people count? Can you people add? Now, far be it for me to tell you to stop drinking Coca-Cola and eating sugar, but, you know, don't sit here and cry out to me and say, well, look, Gordon, I want you to pay your taxes so you can buy health care insurance so the government can insure me so that they can pay for my insulin because I'm going to get diabetes because I'm going to keep drinking Coke. Coca-Cola is a decision that you've got to make in life. Should I or should I not drink Coke? Now, little Georgie Gordon came to a conclusion years ago. I didn't drink Coke. I drank Pepsi-Cola. And then I thought Pepsi-Cola is the greatest thing since sliced white bread, and I drank lots of it. And then one day when I got the numbers together and I said, this is insane. I'm drinking this Coke, making Pepsi rich, and it's killing me. I'm going to get diabetes. I'm going to die from this. And so I quit. Now, I recommend to people that they inform themselves and then make informed decisions. I never did eat at McDonald's. That stuff you gag a maggot. But I used to eat at Burger King. God, I love those flame-broiled Burger King burgers. I tried one over at Wendy's one time, and they said it was hot and juicy. They weren't lying. It was hot and juicy. And do you know what that juice is? It's fat. Your hamburger has 30% fat by law. I mean, your legislators authorized the meatpacking industry to put 30% fat into your hamburger. Now, of course, your creator, now he said, you shall eat no manner of fat. Said that in Leviticus 3, verse 17. You want to check me up in there, check up on me and see if I'm blind today. You shall eat no manner of fat. And I told you, don't eat fat. Now, you people are out there eating fat, and your preacher's up there telling you we ought to have a picnic with hot dogs over here, and they feed them hot dogs. Hot dogs have 40% fat in them. 40, 10 percentage points higher than your hamburger. And your preacher over there is telling you, eat more hot dogs and eat more hamburger. Now, that's at worst. At best, he ain't telling you anything. He's telling you about love and faith. You know, you don't have any works. Don't you worry about works now. So now there's some penalties coming down on us, and we're all seeing it, right eyeball to eyeball. Hell, you can watch the PBS NewsHour tonight, and you can watch these penalties in Leviticus 26 being reported on, right in the comfort of your living room. He goes on, he says, the Eternal will bring you, and the king, which you shall set over you, unto a nation which neither you nor your fathers have known, and there shall you serve other gods, wood and stone. And you shall become an astonishment, a proverb, and a byword among all nations where the Eternal will lead you. You shall carry much seed out into the field, and you shall gather but little back, because the locust will consume it. You shall plant vineyards and dress them. You shall neither drink of the wine nor gather of the grapes, because the worms are going to eat them. You shall have olive trees throughout all your coasts, but you shall not anoint yourself with the oil, because your olive will cast its fruit. The best news that I've got here out of this book here is the king, that's our president, that we've set over us, is going into national captivity with us. That's the best part of the whole story. You know, what goes around comes around. Now, meanwhile, back here on the farm, he says, now you're going to have all kinds of agricultural setbacks. We're seeing that now. I mean, big agricultural setbacks, big upsets in the weather. And they call it global warming. Boys and girls, we're not suffering from global warming caused by you and me burning gasoline in our cars. We're suffering from global warming because our creator is kicking our ass. That's what our global warming problem is. And then we got Al Gore in the Congress over here trying to take advantage of the global warming. And they're telling us, well, what we got to have here is carbon taxes, carbon credits. We're going to enact a whole series of legislation over here with dealing in carbon credits so that we can profit off of this. They're going to take our ass-kicking and turn it into a profit for General Electric and General Motors. We're getting punished by our creator, and our enemies say, good, let's take that punishment and let's turn that into a profit for us at their expense. I guess there is a thing called poetic justice, isn't there? Not only is our God going to punish us over here, he's going to make us pay for it. You've got to pay for your own enslavement. And then he goes on and he says here that, but you shall not enjoy them because they shall go into captivity. You're going to have sons and daughters, but they're going into captivity. All your trees and fruit of your land shall the locust consume. The stranger that's within you shall get up high, very high above you. And you shall come down very low. He shall lend to you, and you shall not lend to him. He shall be the head, and you shall be the tail. Is that what's happening here with our debt? Hey, what happened with all these mortgages that are being foreclosed on our credit cards, you know, that we can't pay off anymore? This economic crisis, isn't that exactly what we see here? He shall lend to you, and you shall not lend to him. The stranger that's within our gates. The stranger that's within our gates shall get up very high above you, and you shall be brought down very low. Take a look at that. That's exactly what's happening. Goldman Sachs, Bank of America, Morgan Stanley, Citibank, Citicorp. And then fed by our Congress and executive orders and our president over here, feeding us more communism, feeding us more socialism. All right, that being the case, I'm going to put a mark here in my margin so we can come back to this next time. And we'll talk about this thing called the war story, because this is war, no doubt about it. We've been led into war, and our God now is at war against us. And we need a solution for this. You and I, we need a solution. But meanwhile, back on the farm, till tomorrow night, let me remind you that you've been listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review. We're sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. If you'd like more information about The Law School and The Law Hour, then please go to our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Now, The Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals but by prearrangement. Now, The Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc, and The Law Hour website is updated weekly, and it has a radio log, schedule, and archives. All of that can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour and editorial review is brought to you as a service in the public interest. Time's up. I've got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night, same time, same station, God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.